Afterward. As I write this, it's been a year since Luke died, almost to the day. It's snowing now, the white flakes sifting onto Luke's memorial stone in the high pasture. Lassie is lying on the sheepskin at my feet. She is better now, as am I. A few months after Luke's death, Lassie began to beg me to let her work the sheep again, so I opened the gate to the pen and asked her to drive the sheep to the far corner. I helped her at first, standing behind her to back her up as she faced off the flock's toughest sheep, the sheep only Luke would have taken on before. She gathered her courage step by step, leaning forward into the job, committed to holding her ground, taking over from her father. She works like a dream now, steady and brave each night as she holds the sheep off the feeders so I don't get trampled. She sparkles with joy every evening when she picks up her toys, flings them through the air, teases me to grab hold and play tug of war with her. I still miss Luke. I miss him a lot. A part of me died with him, as always happens when someone we love dies. But a part of Luke will always live on in me, and my heart doesn't hurt the way it did before. There are days when I still tear up over Luke, occasional days in which I give in to a good cry. But those days are less frequent, and it feels in my heart as if Luke and I are moving on. I live on the farm with three dogs now, Lassie and Pip and Tulip, and I love each of them deeply. My love for each dog is different. Tulip is my clown, my stand-up comedian, whom I can count on to cheer me up on the darkest day with her puppy-like gamboling and radiant eyes. She's dozing in the sun now, sprawled on the couch after staying up late last night to warn the coyotes away. Pip, my sweet and gentle Pippi Tay, is old now, almost deaf and often wobbly. She follows me everywhere, refusing to be left alone even for a minute. She's lying beside me now, just a few feet away. I feel a desire that is so strong to ease her remaining days that it makes my heart expand just writing about it. And Lassie? Oh, Lassie. I named her after the famous Lassie, the imaginary dog everyone wants but rarely gets, who seems to live and breathe just to make you happy. Lassie is creamery butter, sweet and willing and more devoted than any human deserves. Like her father, Lassie adores me, pure and simple. If Jim and I move in different directions on the farm, Lassie won't follow him. She stays with me. If a veterinary technician takes her by the leash and pulls her away for medical tests, she's too polite to protest, but her head will turn to me, her eyes pleading. As I look at her face, I think of what Alex the talking parrot said to his friend Irene when she had to leave him at a veterinary clinic. "Come here. I love you. I'm sorry. Want to go back?" When I leave Lassie, I say goodbye quickly and cheerfully and then walk to the car, put my head down on the steering wheel, and breathe a few gulping breaths before I can drive away. I am not alone in this love for my dogs. I am not neurotic, and I am not crazy. Millions of healthy people love their dogs so profoundly they are willing to risk their lives to save them. I don't want to romanticize our relationship with dogs. Having worked with canine aggression for 17 years, I know the dark side of human-dog interactions as well as anyone. It's not all pretty. Intense, emotional relationships rarely are. We can't pretend that fear and anger, felt and expressed by members of both species, don't cause terrible and sometimes long-lasting harm to both people and dogs. Yet, it's the emotions of love and happiness that bind us, a shared happiness that catches us up in giddy, joyful waves, floats us through life together, grinning and amazed at the miracle of what we share. Last night, Lassie and I played her favorite game together. Again and again, I tossed her favorite toy across the rug. Each time she leapt after it, then came back to me with her face glowing, her eyes soft and luminous. Her neat little body seemed unable to contain her joy and her love of play. At some point in the middle of our game, I realized I was beaming, a huge smile plastered across my face. For that moment, I was truly and completely happy. In some ways, it's really that simple, isn't it? At their best, that is what dogs do. They make us happy. At our best, we make them happy too. That can only be true because we share so very much with them, and the foundation of what we share is our emotions. Dogs are emotions, living, breathing embodiments of fear and anger and joy, emotions we can read on their faces as clearly as any language. This emotional connection between us isn't trivial. We humans may be brilliant and we may be special, but we are still connected to the rest of life. No one reminds us of that better than our dogs. Perhaps the human condition will always include attempts to remind ourselves that we are separate from the rest of the natural world. We are different from other animals, it's undeniably true. But while acknowledging that, we must acknowledge another truth, the truth that we are also the same. That is what dogs and their emotions give us, a connection to life on earth, to all that binds us and cradles us, lest we begin to feel too alone. Dogs are our bridge, our connection to who we really are, and most tellingly, who we want to be. When we call them home to us, it's as if we are calling for home itself. And that'll do, dogs. That'll do.